Parsha Aleph, Perek Yud Beis. Okay. The paragraph that says Zehu She'amar HaKasuf. It's about the quote of Pasuk in Iov in Perek Lamed Daled. It's, I would say, towards the end of the Perek.
After the annotation.
It is.
It's
after the first annotation. Is it?
One second. EO 34:11.
EO 34. There you go.
Okay.
Right. Okay. You got it. Okay. So. Shar Aleph Perek Yud Beis. So, he is describing how. There really is like almost no such thing as like reward and punishment, other than built into what we do are we are creating worlds of wonderful, lovely, positive, ruchnius things, or the opposite, and we have to experience that which we create. So our schar is, our reward is all the wonderful stuff that we're able to do. And our gehenim is the opposite. V'zeu she'amar kasuv, and this is what the pasuk means when it says, ki poel adam yishalim lo. That the poel, that which a person makes, gets paid to him. She'ha pu'ula atzma. The pu'ul itself, the act itself, hatovahi imra, whether it's good or bad, chas v'shalom, hihi atzma hatashlumen shelo kanal. That is going to be the payback or the payoff for what you've done. So the experience of all kinds of negative whatever of Gehenim is really just, I've done something, I've created all this negativity, now I have to experience it. Vayin Zohar Korach Kufayin Zayin Amar Aleph V'zeh She'amar Ba'avos Schar Mitzvah Mitzvah V'schar Avera Avera. Very simply, the reward for mitzvah is a mitzvah. The reward for an avera is an avera. V'zeh She'akasav, and this is what it means, and it says in the pasuk, Ki es kol ma'ase Hashem Yavi B'mishpat Ratzalomer Hamaisa Atzma. The act itself, Ha'omedes V'nirshemes Kamos Shehi. The act itself is alive and kicking in all of its impacts that it has, that it's had, and that is what is judged. Look what you've done.
So is it like, is it like the guy did 500 averos, and so you know they turn up the temperature to 500 or whatever it is, or is it like he did avera? Let's say he always stole cars or something. So he goes to Gehenim and he's like, they strap him to a car. And they, you know, they torture him on a car. I'm saying like, is it just like bad and there's an equation of how much punishment you get? Or that's what he seems to say. It's like the pu'ula, somehow it's...
Yeah, I don't think it's even an equation. I think it's that you stole cars. Right, when somebody steals cars, there are all kinds of negative impacts that it has physically in our world. And then in all those other olamos, there's all this tuma that's being created and that's emanating from the act, from the action that was done. So then a person ends up there, right? And they are a neshama who is very sensitive to Tuma and Kedusha, because we're not, because we could be surrounded by Tuma and we can have a good time, you know, like it doesn't bother us. But our neshama is super sensitive to that. And then it's told, look at this Tuma that you've created, be in it, experience it. And that is a painful thing for a pure and pristine neshama.
But it could be that the Tuma comes from stealing cars is a different tuma that comes from eating chaser.
Absolutely.
It's a different tuma that comes from Yuchal
because,
Shabbos. So he's going to get these different kinds of tuma.
These different forms of tuma, right, that he's sensitive
he
to all the different ones.
Based on what he did.
Based on what he did.
But you can't possibly have a hasra for that because you have no concept of the stuff that you're doing. It's almost like you're you're doing something bishogeg. I mean, I didn't know when I was stealing cars I was going to do all that, you know. And so, and I didn't get any hasra unless I read this book. Okay, I knew stealing cars was bad, but I figured, so what? So he'll get another car, right? But I didn't know about all this other spiritual stuff.
Right.
And so,
but your neshama did. Your neshama knew. Your neshama is totally tuned into this stuff.
You might not be tuned in.
You're not tuned into your neshama.
So why are you punishing him? I stole the car.
Because he should have stopped you.
I don't know. It just seems.
If he would have been a little bit stronger. Now, we did see somewhere that, like, a wimpy avera.
Yeah.
So let's say you grew up in a family of car thieves.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's just. If you want to eat dinner, you steal a car. Like, that's what we do. Is what we do. So there's no moral sense of I'm doing something wrong.
Right.
I'm heading to Skid Row. Like, no. There's none of that. So the evilness or the badness of the act, the lack of bechira maybe a person has,
right,
does lessen the impact that one has on creation of Tuma, and therefore it's going to be more watered down.
Okay.
I hope. okay. All right. V'lachin amru rabbeinu. Therefore, the rabbi said, kol umar kodesh baruch hu vatron hu. Anybody who says that Hashem is a vatron, that he's someone who just, like, lets it go.
There's no English word for that.
Vatron?
Makes concessions. That's how they translate
it. Yeah,
no,
he's
English word for vatran. There's no English word for miman of shach. You know.
Yeah, it's true. Vatran. Right. What is he? A conceder.
Vatran means
he lets it go.
He just lets it go. Just lets it go.
All right.
Overlooker.
You
right.
Had a bad day. We'll give.
Right. You true chayev. Such a person is giving away his life. V'chein hu b'Yerushalmi per. So you're not going to say that about Hashem. So, like, what does that mean? Hello, afilu adam ish chesed misnag b'midas vatranus. We all let it go.
So they teach the Torah school. Be mevater.
Be mevater. Right. Kala oimer. Right. Yeah. I'm trying to be like Hashem. Right. Amnam hu kamosha kasavnu le'el. It's going to be one of my kids is going to think of that one day, and then it's going to be my punishment. Okay. Amnam hu kamosha kasavnu le'el. She'enu al derech ha'onish unakim echas v'shalom. The whole concept of, it's not punishment, it's not revenge when Hashem gives it to us. Rak chatoim tirdof ra. The chatoim cause evil to chase it, meaning she'achit atzma hu oncho. It's the chit that's the punishment. From the time of creation, Hashem set into motion the way and the order of the way the worlds work. That it all is based on what we do. Do we do good? Do we do bad? Everything gets written by itself, kol echad b'mekor v'shrosho, based on its source and its root. So therefore, v'hu muchrach l'kabel dino al yidei osen kochel z'atumah shehig bir maisav. So if a person did something and they created ruach tuma, what do you want? That Hashem, to say that, no, Hashem doesn't care, there's no ruach tuma that comes from a bad act. It's not true. It's part of the way our world was created. Based on the depth of what we've done bad, and it's by experiencing that tuma that it becomes fixed and it's able to eventually get out of here, leave. So first of all, when I've done something wrong, I've created something that I need to experience. That's just the way it works. So if somebody says, Hashem just lets it roll, you are totally misunderstanding how Hashem created the world. It's not that if you do something bad, Hashem sends lightning bolts after you. It's that if you do something bad, you've created something bad. If you've created something bad,
showing kindness,
right?
That's a separate issue,
right? That's a totally separate issue, and therefore he says, "Oh, you did koach tshuva," and then we have the capacity for tshuva. What's that? Shemagas at shrusha elyon olam hatshuva. It reaches the highest root, the world of tshuva. Alma dechiru unahiru kudakula. Umishamis atzal v'nishpa tosefes kedusha elyon v'or mavik. And so it is this world that is like totally pure, etc. And from there, all forms of extra kedusha and bright light are able to shine forth and come out. Lahasem ulachalos koltuma ulasakin ha'olamos kamikodem. So you can go to this world of tshuva. You can, you know, trigger some kind of light or kedusha power that is going to dissipate the tuma that you created with your avera. That's how he's perceiving
it's
this.
It's actually like a different makom. Like, it's got its own, you know, its own building. You go to the tuma tshuva ward, and you get a, you know.
The tshuva ward. So at the bottom over here, I think he explains that the tshuva ward is able. It's considered like this deepest place where Hashem is, like we're literally able to like flip realities. Like I killed someone. No, I did tshuva, so now it's like I didn't kill someone, even though the person's dead. So I'm able to change that reality, which releases like this tremendous kedusha bolt that's able to kind of overcome that tuma that I had originally created.
So where does the concept of reward and punishment come in? This is not reward and punishment.
It is. He's just saying reward and punishment is not...
God is not rewarding or punishing you.
It's all consequence.
Set up, it's set up that
it's
way
just consequence.
You create your own...
Right, you just create your own reality. Yeah. Right.
When Ravana was here for Shabbos, I think he said it, or I think he was then, like, people picture it like that, or you go to a carnival, you collect tickets, and then you go to Olam Haba, you turn in your tickets. That's not what it is.
Right.
That's not the reward.
Right.
The reward is the world that you create.
You create your own reward.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. In Shar Bei's Perches, he comes back to this and he says, if you drink a cup of poison, you can't say, oh, God, give me a break, you know.
Right.
Right. But then, like Hirsch said, when you do tshuva, you're going to a different world.
Right. And it's right. Right. It's an alternate reality.
So how does tshuva mitigate what you did? If you did is what you did, that's it. So how does tshuva mitigate it?
It's almost like Hashem allows you to go back in time and start a new track of reality if you're into sci-fi stuff.
I mean, all Yom Kippur, I'm standing up there all day asking for tshuva and slicha and kapara and stuff like that. But how does that work if you've already created your own punishment, etc.?
So we have the ability to kind of turn back time, yeah. and. But I mean, he's like having some sort of like kedusha bolt go and like kill the tumma, but I always imagine it like you move backward and then you're just starting again. And
so
then
that works spiritually. It doesn't work in the physical world. You kill somebody, the person's dead.
Oh, they're dead. Yeah.
You can't fix that.
Right, but you didn't do it. Yeah, spiritually, it's not the you who you are now is not the person that did that.
There are two separate things. He needed to die. Right. That he was going to die anyway, but you did the avera by killing him. So you don't need to undo the fact that he's dead because he was meant to die. You need to disconnect yourself from that. Mm-hmm. The tshuva mm-hmm. disconnects you from yeah. that, well, from the fact that he died.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
If there's a ward at Hopkins that does this, you know, they with the you know, psychedelic about? Medicine, you know,
yeah.
they people that have trauma, give them like heroin, you know, and they go back and they like reprogram the experience and then they come back. A lot of them and they're like, it's gone.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I know a psychiatrist that uses, it's been messing with that stuff. Shrooms and stuff like that. Yeah.
So we have Yom Kippur, it's cheaper.
Yeah.
It's
Mattis
which shul you
belong to. Is it breaking my fast if I use... Right. I never saw that. I saw that they have a shiloh. If you take an IV on Yom Kippur, have you broken your fast? But like if you do heroin, I'm not sure what the... Okay. Lizos. So for this, ain't shayach vatronus bezeh. Right? It's not shayach. So there's no concept of vatronus. It's just, you drink the poison, it's the poison. Vezeh she'omer ba'avos v'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtovim. That you wrote your book. Your haynu shemei atzma nechtovim v'er nesham in l'mala. Your actions wrote what is going on up there. It's not that you did something and then somebody wrote down something. Oh, he did that? Let's pencil him in for a different, for this consequence over here. No. It's that you've written your book. It's all you. So then he says, okay, now we're in a Haggah. We're in a footnote. Annotation.
I have chapter 13 before the
notation. The footnote really was way back. They just printed it at the end here.
But oh, really?
Back 2 pages ago.
Okay. Really? Yeah. Okay. Okay, but it's a good one. So, hang on. So he says, Amnam, Meruba Mida Tova. So we have a concept that whenever we have a concept that has a good and a bad side, the positive is always going to, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it that the positive greatly outweighs and outguns the negative. So, Behefresh V'Yisron Rav. Kitzach tzachos v'telsofos kedusha sheni tosfu mimasim tovim heim nitzchiyim v'kayomim li'olam v'nafsho mis'adin behen tanug nitzchi. When a person creates positive kedusha and all that wonderfulness, that is something that is eternal. And it's something that a person is able to experience eternally. All of the negative forces that we create with our sins, when you're done experiencing the negativity that you need to experience, they're gone. There is this negative force. It is not nitzchi. It's not eternal. Ki atzmos chiyuson hu rak mipagam hachet v'harisa shagaram b'kochas olam ha'kadoshim. What is this negative force? This negative force is that there was some sort of wound that we created in the world, and some form of destruction that we created with an action that we did. Shemizeh nimshach b'hem shefachiyos v'nitzotzi ar muat derech tzinoros archos ha'kakalos. And because of that, all this, misfired business ends up happening. K'inyan amaleya hachareva. V'kivin shekibel dino al yedehem. Now, once a person receives their din, chel baka v'yakienu, v'nifsak chiyusam m'mele v'kolam me'alehem. Basically, you have gotten your punishment. You have lived the damage that you created. By experiencing that, you fixed it. That is a fix. It fixes the...
Sounds like the explanation that Tomer Dvorah gives why Haman died. Why, at the end of Megillah, Haman died. Why does Haman have to die? Why can't Haman go to Switzerland to retire? Because the punishment for which Haman was created was finished. There's no... Haman's gone.
See you later. Right.
We could speculate about, Hitler.
Yeah, right. Vizeu ha'inyan she'agehenem nikra aluka. This is why Gehenim is called a leech. She'ha'aluka motzetzes ha'damim ha'raim, because the leech sucks out the bad blood, u'mizehu mesa tekef, and then kills itself by sucking out that blood. So, kainhu inyan ha'gehenim. That's the same inyan of Gehenim. So the idea, and on the bottom over here, he has the essentially everything in this world is tov and of Hashem. Bad things are just ways of building up good. Like when we see something ra in this world, it's to create something good. ultimately? Because ultimately, everything is heading towards this perfection of goodness and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, by definition, everything bad has to have an end, because everything ends in good. So everything that's good, that's created, that's part of the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's eternal. Even the things that are on the surface bad, and that appear to be bad, and that feel bad and seem bad, what are they for? They're just ways of getting us closer to Hashem. That's what all forms of onish, basically, all forms of punishment, all forms of suffering, are just ways of waking us up and fixing us in different ways, so that ultimately we can have the ultimate tov. So ra is never bad, is never something that's eternal. It's only the good that's eternal. So therefore, again, by definition, everything bad is going to dissipate and go away. And the only thing that's left standing is good. And that's why ultimately, meruba mida tova mi mida peronios, that the goodness is going to overwhelmingly outnumber all the negativity, because of this essential difference between what's good is by definition eternal, and what's bad is by definition not eternal.
So there's no extra credit, meaning even if you did tons of good, any ra has to be eliminated independently.
Correct.
Of that good. It doesn't like...
So which is why tzaddikim in this world will have suffering, or they won't have it so easy, because Hashem wants to knock out all their punishment, suffering, whatever it is that has to happen, get all their ra out in this world when it's not so bad, as opposed to the next, so that the next world could just be smooth sailing.
But is a person who gets rid of his ra in the next world going to be on par with, you know, someone who didn't need to get rid of his ra in the end?
Potentially. I mean, he's got to have some super upside there. He's saying somebody who had super upside but also had,
But the Russia won't have as much
tov,
good tov, right, that he's put away.
Right.
Not because he did bad things, right, because he didn't do good things.
Right.
He was so busy doing bad things, he didn't do good,
right,
things.
Right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. But if he did a lot of good things in addition, yeah, to the bad things, right, he'll be okay.
He'll be able to cash eventually out at the end. Right. Eventually.
He'll suffer a little bit first.
Right.
Is this the fit with the concept that we say Kaddish for 11 months?
Same idea.
Some people are only in Gehenna for a few weeks. Some are in Gehenna for 11 months,
right,
depending on how much,
right,
they have to be cleansed.
Is that, yeah, in Gehenna for 12 months, but we only say Kaddish for 11 months
because we don't want to insult them.
We don't, right, want to insult them. Like,
we don't feel think, right, that our father was in.
Well, right, where they are now, maybe they'll say, "Okay, insult me a little bit, but get me out of here."
Right. There are stories of.